This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Maybe I'm crazy, but Jay-Z is aging Beyonce. It's making me sad. You don't deserve this. We'll get to it later. That's your response? You weren't prepared for it.
Aging Beyonce.
Yes, we'll get to it later. We'll get to it later.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm not.
Welcome to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. That's Brandon Newman.
The slander.
No, I'm just keeping it real. I'm really saying what everyone wants to say.
I'm glad you're coming with these takes because we're going to have a conversation.
Yeah, we are. So we have a lot to get to today. Mm-hmm. NBA offseason free agency is, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say it's the greatest time in sports. People think that the summer is boring, mm-hmm. and it's not the truth. It really isn't.
No,
besides the NBA finals and a little bit of the conference finals, because mm-hmm. Those, you know, if you're in the Eastern Conference, can be quite boring usually also. Although this year they were competitive.
Yes.
They gave them a good run.
Both sides.
There was a moment there where I really thought it could happen.
During the Raptor series?
That's being sarcastic.
Of course.
If you're new to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, I throw that in sometimes. Anyway, the point is, free agency is amazing because mm-hmm. we've got Kawhi Leonard, we've got LeBron James. The draft is this week. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening. We'll talk to Jordan Schultz in a minute, Yahoo Insider. Pick his brain on that because I feel like the draft is kind of boring.
Not a lot of big names, Joy.
I'm not on the edge of my seat to find out where anyone goes.
When that European guy is being talked about a lot near the draft day, it's like, come on, guys.
That European guy?
Every year, but I'm saying every year is like when there's a draft where the European guy
Chris
is being mentioned
Porzingis
a lot
was one of my favorite draft moments of all.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Time that was fun. So New York Knicks.
Yes,
all the fans booing their minds out.
We're getting to the Knicks this podcast.
What
we're going to talk about the Knicks?
We are
going to
talk about the Knicks. Yeah. I wish the Knicks were better. Yeah. Actually, all right. Time for Would It or Quit It.
What am I winning or quitting today? Tom Brady went on Oprah's Super Soul Conversations and had an answer for everything. How's your relationship with Belichick? All of. Anthem protests. Got respect for it. When's the end? Soon. Joy, Giselle sent Brady's clone Tommy to do this interview with Oprah. With it or quit it?
There's Pod Tom.
Yes.
And then there's Tommy. Tommy is real Tom Brady, the human
version.
Oh,
that's Tommy. Okay, yes.
If you don't know about this theory, I have a theory that there are two Tom Bradys. If you watch Black Mirror, I believe it's season 2, episode 1, they have pod people for, like, if someone in your life passes away, they can send you a version of them.
Oh, yes.
It's very creepy. However, ooh. I mean, didn't that just make your skin crawl?
Oh, my God.
You know what it does? When I truly get weirded out, my throat does this, like, tightening thing where I'm like, ugh.
You feel the glands.
Yes. Mm. So I believe that there's a Pod Tom and then Tommy. Tommy's real Tom Brady, and Pod Tom is the person Giselle like hangs out with and like takes to the Met Gala and stuff.
So you thought it was Tom was Todd Palm.
Pod Tom is what went to see Oprah.
Yes.
I love you, Auntie O. Yes. She's amazing. She always she does get down to the soul.
She does.
She has a way of asking questions where you're like, yes, I'll tell you my deepest, darkest secrets.
Just
and then cry
the
about
soul.
It. And it'll be on live television. That's fine.
And she just laughs.
I'm just gonna jump on this couch and tell you how much I love Katie. So
that's a different situation.
Man, wow. Have you watched a Scientology movie on Netflix?
Going clear?
It makes me want to move out of Los Angeles.
It makes me want to understand the world and the people in it more.
No, not me. I don't need to know anything. Anyway, Pod Tom said a lot of things I don't believe. Like, for example, he had a very hard time saying that he loves Bill Belichick. It was like, how do you feel about Bill Belichick? Do you guys have a problem? Do you have a thing? And he was like,
He got it out though.
He did manage to get it out.
Yeah.
Like this, I have the quote from him. It says, "I love him." It didn't include the 17 stutters before he said, "I love him."
Yeah.
So I don't believe that. I do think it's kind of scary if you're a Tom Brady fanatic that he said he is looking towards the end because I really believe once you start talking about it, you know, I believe in the visualization, sure, the law of attraction.
It's here, though.
No, I'm not a Scientologist, but this is real things. Yes. And he, like, wants to spend more time with his kids and stuff, which is totally respectable. But it makes you think about not playing with rage. I do think they're going to win the Super Bowl again this year. But
how?
You know, because I'm not ready to believe it.
Okay.
I'm just,
yes,
not.
Yes.
And then he doesn't like being called the GOAT. That I can also believe. Like that, like people are going to, yeah, doubt that, but if, I mean, what kind of an a-hole are you if you're like, "Yeah, you know what? I am the greatest."
No, it's
I'm the greatest.
It's a problem with he talked about it in the interview as well. The younger generation, these younger kids have thousands of followers coming out of high school. They get granted GOAT status before they've done anything at all.
Yeah.
And the reason he doesn't want to be called the GOAT is because he's still doing it.
Yeah, and I also think that's part of Tom Brady's greatness, because he was a sixth round pick who had an awful combine and looked like he didn't have a muscle in his body.
Right.
So I believe him when he says that. Now, the anthem protests.
Mm. Tap dancing, Tom.
Look. What he said was there were a lot of really good, healthy conversations coming out of it in our locker room. I've been with different guys from all parts of the country, every color, race, belief. And you respect what other people, I mean, I respect why people are doing what they're doing, and they're doing it for different reasons, and that's okay. Okay, Tommy. But sure. Can you say this, like, when it's in the middle of it?
Right. Anything.
Can you say anything?
Because a lot of people were talking at that point.
Everyone's
in time.
Talking about it.
Yes.
It's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Pretty
so
big thing.
So maybe you say something while it's actually going on. And this is proof that this is Pod Tom, because we know real Tommy,
yes,
rocking that red hat in the
right
lockers, right?
Yeah.
It was right behind you.
He's trying to make America
placed.
Great again.
Right. Real Tommy,
you know,
real Tommy's trying to make America great again.
Yes.
Pod Tom is a little bit more liberal.
He cares about unity.
Yeah. Yeah,
teammates.
He's about the Holy Trinity,
right,
of LeVar, God, and LiAngelo. So, yeah. So I'm like a whatever, like a little too late. But I love Auntie O so much.
And she came back. She's like, "What type of conversations?" She's like, "Oh, you know, just about getting together and, you know, not being mad at each other." Yeah, Todd Pom, Pom Todd, Todd Pom,
Pod
Tom,
Pod Tom,
Pod Tom,
Pod Tom.
Yummy.
I don't like pad thai, actually.
You don't like pad thai?
I don't.
Why not?
It's because I like my salty.
Most American version
of it.
American
things
version.
To be salty.
Yeah.
And like spicy things to be. Ugh. You know, I don't like the sweetness of it. Plus, I'm not a huge peanut butter fan, if I'm being honest. Like, it's okay.
Oh, pad thai. Does it come with all peanut butter? Come with all pad thai?
It's peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
And noodles. Okay. I mean, I'll eat it, but. All right, what's next?
Okay. Jerry Jones is a friend to his players and his president. The Cowboys owner recently caped up for Ezekiel Elliott, saying he trusts Zeke as much as he trusts himself. But the third-year running back needs a talking to sometimes daily to keep him on the straight and narrow. Joy, there's too much pressure on Zeke to have a big season. Win it or quit it.
No, there's not too much pressure.
Really?
Yeah, I'm quitting that. No, you're in your third year. You've gone
2 years though. Joy.
You had an amazing rookie year. You had a cloud hanging over your entire team. Which whether people want to put that responsibility on him or not, the main reason that the Cowboys had a bad season last year was because of Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Whether it was the cause of the NFL,
Des Bryant as well. Maybe.
No, like if Zeke is out there every game, regardless of Sean Lee being out, regardless of Des Bryant having a bad season,
right?
None of that matters to me, because Zeke is what makes that offense go. And maybe they wouldn't have made it far in the playoffs, but they wouldn't have had the season they had last year.
Mm-hmm.
And look, Zeke is what he is. I mean, at this point, I'm not saying he can't grow. I'm not saying he can't evolve. I'm not saying he can't mature. But if you're saying you got to have a talk daily.
It's crazy.
Daily? Every day?
That's what you do with children, literally.
Right. So, no, multiple times a day you have to do that with children. So that's not encouraging to me.
No.
And look, I want to give Zeke a chance, and you know, that's coming from me based off of his past. But
right.
Like you're doing. Listen, I don't like, if you want to go buy penis water guns and spray them at people in Key West, that's fine. Don't spray me because I don't like to be sprayed. Okay. That ends badly for you. But if you want to spray other people, that's fine. Okay. And I've been to Key West. They sell all kinds of fun little items. Okay.
Right.
It's a wild and crazy place.
Yeah.
Lots of alcohol. You can walk down the street with it. All right. Very fun. However, you're Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Stop pretending like people aren't going to take pictures of you. It's just what it is. I give players, young players, a lot of slack and I try to give them opportunities.
They deserve it.
Because it's hard. Like there wasn't social media 10, 15 years ago mm-hmm. in these situations when guys were making the same decisions that they were making.
Yeah.
So I think there's an added pressure with social media these days and with everyone having camera phones. I get it. But it is what it is. Like, you got to evolve. You know this. That. But you didn't grow up not having the internet.
No, of course. But social media, my biggest problem with this whole thing is they're trying to make Ezekiel Elliott something that he's not. And that is a actual leader on the football team. He can lead with statistics and his performance, and everyone can try to up the ante to play as well as Ezekiel Elliott is playing on every Sunday, Thursday, whatever time they play in the games nowadays. But to try to force him into a leadership role seems like a huge mistake. Social media or not.
The problem is, for people who are going to be like, well, let him live his life. Well, when he does live his life, he gets suspended and affects the football team. Yeah. So I don't care about the Cowboys being good or not. Actually, that's not true. I would like for the Cowboys to be good because big brands better than business.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But in general, I don't care about the Cowboys. The point is, you don't get to act that way anymore. It's just not available. It doesn't work. The NFL destroyed that investigation. They couldn't have done a worse job with it, just to be clear. I've been very critical of them, and I still have a very like just an innovative concept for the NFL. While we're on the topic, because I mentioned this before, but just in case, just a suggestion: take the power to punish out of Roger Goodell's hands. It doesn't mean you're any less powerful. It doesn't mean it.
Still Roger
you
Goodell.
Can still be on the panel. Yeah. Okay, take it out of Roger Goodell's hands. Mm-hmm. And create this this thing called a panel of people, and then you present this the problem to them, and then they speak amongst each other. Maybe add some diversity to it. Yeah. You know, maybe like a woman, maybe a black person.
Oh, that'd be great. Know? There's so many of those in the NFL.
There's some.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then you know maybe a person of LGBT. You know.
Yes. That. Yes.
We could have an older person. We could have a younger person.
A diverse committee is what you're saying.
Yes. We could do diversity. We should do that and on the panel and then you know just make everyone comfortable. You can put like 4 or 5 white guys, all right, and then present the problem. We gotta balance.
It's 2018, 3 white guys.
No, it can't be any less than 4.
One can be really old.
The point, they're all gonna be really old. I didn't mean young white guys.
Right, of course.
Okay, the point is present the problem to them. They speak amongst themselves and then they give a verdict, a jury if you will.
Ooh,
and then
that's a term.
And then the punishment is given. And then, and even, it could be even wilder. Guys. These people could, every couple of years,
what are they going to do?
They could be cycled out for new people. And I feel like that would solve a lot of the problems.
You need to write a letter.
You know. We kind of already have this in place in our society.
Dancing with the Stars?
It's very similar.
Something like it, yeah.
Process.
Okay, speaking of too much pressure to succeed, I present to you a quote from the Baker Mayfield. They traded a 3rd-round pick for Tyrod. Just doesn't make sense. The guy that he is for this franchise, for all of our teammates, it's unbelievable. And so for me, to be able to watch him and learn from him, it's great. It's good for me overall. Joy, Swaggy B will not start a game this season. With it or quit it?
Quit it.
Really?
Quit it.
Of course you quit it. I'm with it.
Quit it.
I'm with it.
All right, look.
Let's talk about it.
I like Tyrod. Mm-hmm. Let's just be clear about that. Yes. I think Tyrod is a starting quarterback for a decent team.
Clearly.
Here's the problem. You picked Baker Mayfield 1 overall. That's the first pick in the NFL draft for anyone who's not paying attention.
Yes.
1 overall means he's the first guy. He's the best guy.
First guy off the board.
Right? That's what 1 overall means. Right. Okay? So you've taken him 1 overall. Mario you've wins. Leveraged your franchise on this guy. And now you're trying to tell me that Tyrod Taylor is the answer? No, you're not telling me that. What you are telling me, though, is that you're not interested in losing your job this year. Not this year. Now, I respect it from a professional standpoint, from a personal standpoint. Mm-hmm. But from a football standpoint, just go that way. All the way that way with this nonsense. It's not about Baker Mayfield not being ready to play football. You picked him 1 overall.
That doesn't mean
he's got to be ready to play football.
That doesn't mean he's not ready to play football. He could be ready to play football if Tyrod Taylor wasn't in front of him.
That's exactly my point. What are you doing? You won 0 games last year, so you're just trying to win like 6 games so you can keep your job so that next year you can play Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're taking a year away from Baker Mayfield developing in the NFL and playing against NFL
talent.
He's going
to be developing?
Where? Against the Browns practice squad? How bad is the Browns practice squad?
It's good for me overall. These are Baker. This is Swaggy B's words.
Look, Swaggy, you're being very professional. You're taking all you've listened so well.
When has he ever been really professional? He's honest. That's his problem. He's honest.
Media speak. School, you are acing it. Okay, I'm very proud of you. You are answering every question at elite level.
That's a theory.
Gold star for Swaggy B. All right, got it. However, forget what Swaggy B is saying because we all know it's nonsense. What's really happening here is Hugh Jackson doesn't want to lose his job, so he's not starting.
He can get fired at the end of the season. The Titans won a playoff game and fired their head coach at the end of the season.
Yes,
Hugh Jackson's gone. Regardless, I think it's better for Baker to sit. Watch a team win 7 games and be competitive in 2 of them that they're not supposed to win. They're going to be a good football team. And if they were not going to be a good football team, Baker Mayfield would be the starter.
You picked him number 1 overall. If you'd picked him 15th, even still, I don't like it. If you take a quarterback in the first round and you don't have a quarterback, which they don't.
Yes.
You play the quarterback that you picked. That's how you get better. There's a time when you watch. And you know what that is? That's OTAs, okay? And then there's a time that you play football. You can't get better at playing football by watching other people play football. Sorry. You don't.
I'm with you, but
this is a coaching.
You got to look at your personnel.
This is a keep your job as a coach move.
I hear you. You got to look at your personnel. Tyrod Taylor's going
to win. I have a question. How can you be worse? Can you be worse? You won no games, so you can't be worse.
It's the best.
You literally can't be worse.
This is the best offense. This is the best quarterback room Todd Haley's ever seen.
The only thing that could happen. Oh, don't even get me started. Todd Haley. Todd Haley just served up a giant bowl of poo-poo nonsense. You're going to eat that poo-poo nonsense.
No. We can find out. We can find out he had dementia.
Poo-poo nonsense.
We can find out he has dementia after the season. No. But right now,
what he has is a serious case of the petties, and he doesn't know how to be slick with it. Okay, because you're throwing shade on Ben Roethlisberger.
When does Hard Knocks start?
And it's not happening. This is the best quarterback room I've ever been in.
I haven't been in a quarterback room.
Do you think that Todd Haley knows he coaches for the Browns now?
Yeah.
I don't.
This
think he
last
does.
Interview.
I don't
this
think he interview. Does. What a joke.
Moving on. To paraphrase Biggie, fake beef is when you start with your friends to seem edgy and build your brand. Lakers rookie Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma did just that until the Lakers told them to chill. Honestly, though, I'm here for it. Joy. This fake beef is exactly what the NBA needs. Win it or quit it.
Who the bleep is Kyle Kuzma?
Kyle Kuzma. That was the diss track that Lonzo did for.
I did not listen to the entire diss track. I listened to the important parts.
It was 2 minutes and 1 minute of content.
I don't have 2 minutes for that. Okay. So, what was the question?
Joy. This fake beef is exactly what the NBA needs. Win it or quit it.
Quit it. Here's the problem. Everyone knows it's a fake beef, except for like 15 super old crunchy dudes who don't know what.
But those are the people in the front office of Lakers.
Who still think that every time there's a rap beef that it ends up like Biggie and Pac, which by the way is not what actually happened with Biggie and Pac. Okay,
right, exactly.
There's other theories floating out there.
USA
Pac was revolutionary. It's a thing. Look into it. Anyway, the point is, everyone knows it's fake. So I don't get it. I'm gonna be the old person here. I don't get it. Everyone knows it's fake. So what's the point other than just putting out content for social media? That part I get. But if you're Magic Johnson, you're trying to recruit LeBron James, this is not cool.
LeBron? I know Kyle Collins thinks so.
Yes, here's why. It's not that it's deterring LeBron, because Magic is going to assure LeBron that whatever one of these young men that he would like to say bye-bye is bye-bye'd.
Yes.
Okay, so whatever LeBron wants is going to be given to him.
Right.
What Lonzo and Kuzma did is make themselves expendable. Is the reality of it.
Either.
Don't care. I like content. I like drama. I'm fine with all of it. It doesn't matter to me. I don't find it interesting because I know that it's fake. I don't care if you guys have bars. That's why I'm not going to listen to it. I've heard it, obviously, but I'm not going to say, he made fun of him. Great.
Yes.
So it doesn't move me in that way. The bigger picture of it is that now they are expendable. That's the point. And the thing that I didn't get to explain to Colin about all this, but this is the issue. Like, when people are looking at this and they're like, this is messy and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Cube was on. He doesn't like it, which pretty much means it ain't cool.
Right. Yes.
He's pretty much the arbiter on what is cool and what is not cool. Ice Cube said he needed to chill out.
Especially in LA.
I think we're done. Yeah. I think we're done with this now.
Yeah.
The point is, kids don't care about winning anymore. They just don't. It's not about championships. Think about the players who win in this league. Like, let's talk about the Warriors, for example. None of them are kids.
Okay. Well, okay.
None.
Yes,
none.
Yes,
yes, they're all veterans.
Yes.
Okay.
True.
None of them are kids.
True.
You look at Houston. Why is Houston winning? James Harden isn't new. Chris Paul damn sure ain't new.
No.
Okay.
Not to any
look
of
at
it.
LeBron. This is the oldest contraption that ever put together in NBA history.
Those old Lakers showed up.
The Cavs.
When they needed to. All right, I'm sorry, Lakers. Yeah, Cavs showed up when they needed
to. Yeah, so the younger generation, the millennials, if you will, which I don't consider them to be millennials. What is it, Project X or Generation X?
Project X. Was that a good
Project
was a
X
movie?
Was that movie where they tore up the house. Ooh, they don't have my mama's house. Lord knew.
It's like one time at the theater. It was fun, but I just felt bad afterwards. Yeah, I called my mom afterwards and apologized.
Yeah, for not doing that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't even. I just want you to know. I saw this movie. I never thought of doing it.
Yeah, I would never even.
If you even heard of it, I would never do that. Anyway, the point is, Generation X is what they are. That they're different. It's AAU. Mm-hmm. Everyone teams up together to create the best team. They play together. They're all friends. They do fake beefs.
Right.
It's just different. And maybe if LeBron gets there, the mentality will change. But championships don't make stars anymore.
Dang. That's a good point.
I got bars for you today. Championships don't make stars anymore.
Yeah.
You have Instagram. You have Twitter. These kids come in with a million followers before they even hit the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't worried about your rings.
Well, they're
trying to make millions of dollars, sell a bunch of shoes, get bitches, party in the hills. Yeah. That's what they're trying to
they
do.
Definitely get
number
two.
I'm just keeping it real with you. That
no,
it's not
it's
that
true.
Important.
But I think now it's to the point where being a star is enabling people from becoming champions, which that's the dangerous part. Like, if you cannot become a champion because you're too busy doing things, chasing content, chasing likes, chasing follows, it's clearly not going to lead to wins.
Well, of course, this is why it's become more of a business than actual competition. Because if you look at what you just said, you can make millions and millions and millions of dollars in endorsements based off of your social media brand.
Yeah.
So when I can make this much money, not whether I have a good season or not,
mm-hmm.
whether I shoot 45% from the free throw line or not,
what
do I care? I mean, obviously I'm going to try and get better. I'm going to stay in the league and stay relevant. I'm not saying they don't care about basketball or being good. Of course they do.
Right.
But I'm just saying it's not as important. That rate, and you can't tell me that it is. Like, you, it's fine. You can tell me that you work hard, but you are not focused on winning a championship if you're doing stuff like this, which is fine. I'm fine with that. But you can't have everything. You just can't. Like, Kobe did this, okay? But what was Kobe doing? Like, what was Kobe doing when he put out his rap album? Was he Kobe at that point?
No, it wasn't his first and second year, though, either. You know what I mean? Like, these kids are they're really kids. Like Josh Hart said, it's like, we're all just kids messing around. We just, like, people are just watching us now.
Right. But that's my point. Like, this stuff happened before there was social media, and that's the point. Like, they didn't get critiqued about this.
Yeah.
They didn't get asked every 3 seconds. Their
it wasn't a problem in the locker room.
Right. Like, their teammates didn't get asked about it. It's a different world now. You're obviously doing this for social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm fine with it, but there's only so much time in a day, and that's what people are going to be critical of you for,
because
you still have old school players, you still have old school coaches, you still have old school media, and I'm kind of in the middle of the two. Like, I like championships. Sorry, I like winning. Like, call me an elitist.
You like Kevin Durant championships?
Call me corny or not. I don't care, man. We're going to look back 20 years from now and be like, Kevin Durant has this many rings.
Really?
And like, three people will be like, yeah, but remember that time? Remember that time he joined the 7-3-19 and beat him 3-1?
I'm going to be one of them three.
And everyone's going to be like, yeah, cool, man. No one cares because Kevin Durant has that many rings. They're not going to do it. Look, everyone said that about LeBron when he went to Miami. And now nobody even mentions it.
Because he won one in Cleveland by himself.
Okay, but so what?
Kevin
Durant's career is not over. Kevin Durant very well may go somewhere else. Things with Golden State may change.
Yeah.
They may have to overcome something, which they did. They beat Houston. Which
David
I,
West
I mean,
tried to claim
I can't,
they.
I can't even say that.
They got over stuff. And what did you say?
They beat Houston. I mean, I knew that was going to happen. I did say it.
Chris Paul was out, though.
Look,
Chris
right,
Paul
but
was out.
Looking back on it, nobody's going to talk about Chris Paul being out.
Yeah, you're right. People have stopped talking about it now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. All right, so let's get to Jordan Schultz, Yahoo Sports Insider, and you can also listen to his very good podcast,
mm-hmm.
Pull Up with CJ McCollum. It's on iTunes, SoundCloud, assuming Google Play and all the other fun places you can get podcasts. So this is Jordan Schultz. All right, special day. We've got Jordan Schultz on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Joy. I appreciate you.
You got a little cool stuff in the background there. What you got going on?
I got my my Kobe sign. I got my Ichiro mitt. I actually have some other stuff I can pull down here. I got the little Russell Wilson sign helmet.
Whoa. Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to figure out if I should just keep it all the same, change it, you know, day to day. I don't know yet, but I feel like this is a good setup for now, and I can start to incorporate, you know, new items in the future.
Yes, well, you're basically an interior designer, so.
Where do you land on the Kobe LeBron debate? You know, just since we have
I love Kobe, but when he injected himself into that conversation recently.
Mm.
It's hard to be like, okay, Kobe, MJ, LeBron. Like, I feel like Kobe's realistically like a top 10 guy, top 12 to 15
Ooh,
at worst.
Woo. At worst. You gotta think about it at worst.
So I would say, but for me, like, probably a top 10. But, like, LeBron and MJ, to me, are the definable one and two. Then you can start talking about, like, Kareem and Magic and Bird and Wilt. But, like, Kobe's, you know, he does have the 5 rings. Which I do appreciate.
Those
he
are nice.
Does, and Kobe would not appreciate you saying he's a top 15 player.
All right, how about top 8 to 10? How about that?
I love it.
No, stick with it. It's a hot take, top 15. But you mentioned LeBron. It's LeBron James summer. Mm-hmm. Right now it's kind of Kawhi summer because no one really has a good gauge on what LeBron's going to do. But I feel like he's coming to the Lakers. Obviously, I'd love to see him go back to the Heat, but I don't think that's possible. What do you think about LeBron to the Lakers? And now there's some rumors today that he's trying to figure out how to stay in Cleveland. Not buying that, but where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, I've said for a while, Joy, I thought the Lakers, for me, it's about becoming an iconic global brand and using LA, using that platform, which to me still has some relevance, despite, you know, social media making every market so accessible. But using that, using Magic as a blueprint, and then the opportunity to still be the guy. If he goes to Houston, for example, it's, you know, it's Chris's team, it's James's team, it's LeBron's team. Where does he fit in? If he goes to Philadelphia, he has to babysit Embiid and Simmons. He doesn't want to do that. If he opts in with Cleveland, they're not going to win a championship. So the Lakers present an opportunity, whether it's with Kuzma and Ingram, whether it's the Lakers going out and getting Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, but an opportunity to win, to build a legacy, and to really establish himself on and off the court for the foreseeable future.
Now, people have been telling me that I'm crazy, maybe I'm crazy, for months now, but I've been saying that he needs to come to the Lakers because it's the only move to me that makes sense. If Sixers sounds good, but you're still in the East, so people are still going to say you never left the Eastern Conference and it was the weaker conference your entire career. If you go to Houston, I mean, quite frankly, like, I'm going to sound like a hater, but Houston doesn't move me. There's nothing edgy about Houston. It's not a market that people flock to. And like you said, you've got other superstars there that have already established themselves as that being their team. So the only move to me that makes sense for his legacy at this point in his career and moving forward out of that is the Lakers. I mean, you've seen what Magic Johnson has done. I mean, Colin said it on the Hurt today. What is he worth? $700 million. What did he make as a player? Maybe 30. He's an international mogul. And there's a different thing to playing for the Lakers than for any other team in the league. Like, you can argue Boston, you can argue New York. He's not going there. He's coming to the Lakers. It makes the most sense for this era of his career.
I totally agree. He's always, to me, been the perfect guy to be in LA because he's not just a basketball player. He's acting. He's an activist. He's a global brand. There's so few guys like that with respect to other great players. And to go to the Lakers, to be in the West, to me almost alleviates some of the pressure that he would if he went to Houston, where he has to win a title right away. The Lakers, why don't we just assume that they get either Paul George and or Kawhi? Then there's a real blueprint there or a framework, a foundation to win, but not have the pressure of winning right away, and where it can be his team and he has an opportunity to build his brand. All of that to me is a positive. And the NBA is better when teams like the Lakers are relevant. And we haven't had major market teams relevant. Think about, you know, Dallas, the Knicks, the Bulls, these teams have not been relevant. Now the Lakers can come back into that stratosphere with LeBron as the impetus to it.
I completely agree. I love when the teams that are supposed to be good are good in sports. It's better for everyone. But you said something that stood out to me about him babysitting in Philly. Wouldn't LeBron have to babysit for the Lakers?
So I'm assuming that if they get Kawhi, then they either trade Ingram or Kuzma.
Right.
Or possibly both. Because I don't think San Antonio would want Lonzo Ball. And I also, to your point, there is, yes, some of that. But it would be his definable team. Whereas in Philly, Embiid and Simmons already have so much cachet. And especially Embiid, he's so beloved there. Where I'm not sure it would ever, like, it would be LeBron's team, but he would be sharing a lot. Whereas if he's with the Lakers, you know, Ingram and Kuzma, while people like them, haven't built up, you know, that foundation yet. So right. To me, I hear what you're saying, but I think the Lakers probably, I feel like, makes the most sense for everything he wants to accomplish at 33.
So San Antonio, I don't know if I agree with that. Lonzo seems like the perfect Popovich player, actually, because even though he has all this, you know, diss track stuff and the music video and all that going on, I feel like if he got under a coach like Popovich, he could fit into that system really well. He's a very unselfish player also.
That's sure. Right. The bigger picture here, Joy, is that they have DeJounte Murray, who they really like and who they're developing, and who I think is better than Ball. I think he has a higher upside offensively, and similar, you know, big, long point guard, better athlete than Ball. But if you bring in Lonzo there, then what does that do to Murray, who has basically supplanted, you know, Tony Parker as their lead point guard of the future? Also, I'm not sure that Popovich really would want the LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball.
Sure.
Even though there's a lot I like about Lonzo as a player, Popovich has said, there's been rumors about him retiring. I think he stayed on as promises to guys like Ginobili and Parker, but I just don't see Ball being there.
So it's chaos in San Antonio, rarely, and Kawhi wants out. There's reports that there's zero chance he gets traded in the West. Nobody believes that because Popovich is going to do whatever's best for the Spurs, as you just mentioned. What do you make of the whole Kawhi situation in general?
Joy, you've been doing this a while, as have I. Have the Spurs, this is so unlike them. Even with LaMarcus Aldridge, they figured out a way to make it work, and he has a great year. What's happened with Kawhi, it's not exactly the same, but it reminds me somewhat of the Patriots with Alex Guerrero and his team with Tom Brady.
Yep.
And the fact that Kawhi wants his, you know, staff involved, and the Spurs are saying, we don't want that. This is our organization. You know, keep that out. And now Kawhi feels a distrust, and this has been going on and getting worse. And now then it comes out a few months back that Tony Parker, they had this players-only meeting, and he says, what was it, like, I've played through 10 times worse. Mm-hmm. Then Kawhi's been training at the MBPA facility in New York. It's a great facility. I love it there. But he's not with the team in the playoffs. It's so severed. And to your point, Joy, about trading to the Lakers, I know it's the West. But realistically, that's where you're going to extract the most value, whether it's Ingram, whether it's Kuzma, Ball, whatever. For Boston, for example, they're not giving up Jason Tatum. Mm. Maybe you get Jaylen Brown. Maybe it's Kyrie and a pick. Philadelphia, Markelle Fultz, you can't trust that. So the Lakers present the most value. It's not that Kawhi – it doesn't matter to the Spurs if Kawhi wants to be a Laker and he's from there. That's just the being able to extract the most value in return.
Well, also – you know, Kawhi has the leverage because he can say, okay, you can make that trade if you want to, but I'm not going to sign there after this year. And no GM is putting themselves in that position to get rid of, say, Kyrie and Tatum. Who's doing that? That's insanity.
The only thing is, yeah, I agree. Boston reached out to the Spurs in February. So you know they like to have him, but you're right. There's also, as the Lakers know, there is no guarantee just because you have cap that you're going to get a guy in free agency. You know, there's a lot of different players. The Lakers are going to have – they can $70 million in cap this summer. So they have an opportunity to go out and get two max guys. In theory, they could also get George, Kawhi, and LeBron. You know, they can dump the dang salary. They could not re-sign Julius Randle, which is a shame because he played well, but amazing. That would probably be the right move. Just because if you have an opportunity to get those three guys, you know, Kawhi's 26. I mean, he's entering his prime now. So, you know, he would be awfully motivated. And I think the Spurs, I think it's embarrassing to them to have this continually be like a dark cloud over them.
Oh, yeah. It'll be anarchy. I can't wait for it. It's going to be so good. Los Angeles is going to be the center.
What do you think? Lakers, for sure? Kawhi?
Yeah, I do. I think I think because of what you just said, they can offer the best package. And no matter what anyone says about Popovich being petty and not sending Kawhi to the West, he's going to send Kawhi wherever it makes most sense for the Spurs. It gives him the best package. That's the bottom line. And Kawhi has leverage because he can say he's not going to sign somewhere long term. So they're going to figure it out. Like, they're all smart people. They've all dealt with egos before. And everybody's going to come to a situation that works best for everyone, and that's just what it is. And I think he'll end up with the Lakers because just that's just the way the stars are aligning for Los Angeles to be the center of the sports universe. And I lived in Miami when all this happened with LeBron and Bosh and Wade, and it was wonderful. And I know everyone says, like, it's going to be the worst thing for the NBA. Like, fans are complaining about it, but everyone complains about everything. Everyone complains about Golden State being great, and like, Houston, it's not fair, and, you know, it's Boston and Kyrie and Cleveland, blah. Like, I'm just over it. Like, the big cities, that's just what it is. It's headlines and it's drama. Like, I feel bad for you if you're in a small market. I grew up in Pittsburgh. I get it, okay? Even though Steelers have the most championships, it's not a big deal. But the point is, when you have, like you mentioned, big city, what Brandon said, the Knicks, when they're great, when Boston is great, when LA is great, when Dallas teams are good, it's just better for all the leagues when this happens. So that's what I think happens.
Yeah, and I think there's a real desire for Kawhi to play with LeBron. And,
yeah. Mm.
And just... Man. To me, that would be it'd be so great for the league. Selfishly, I want to see that happen.
Yeah. Of course. So let's talk a little bit about the draft. I got to be honest, I'm not super moved by the draft this year. Yes, I feel like it's NBA nerdy good draft.
Yeah,
know.
So it's good. It's good for you guys. You guys love it.
No offense.
It's very good for me because there's a lot of good players.
Right. All right. So
I don't know if there's like a lot of excitement. I see what you're saying.
Let's talk about a player. Let's start with kind of not the player everyone's really talking about, but I find really interesting, which is Grayson Allen. So where do you think he goes, and what exactly does he offer? Because obviously he was a huge name in college, and he's very controversial and polarizing.
So the intel I've gotten on Allen is it's almost akin to Baker Mayfield. Now, Mayfield goes one. Allen's not going to go in the lottery. I think he goes in the late first, put that out there first.
But, right.
But when it comes to Grayson, the question mark for him was – is he mature enough? Is he a cancer? What's he like when you get him in a one-on-one setting? Mm. And people I've spoken with have said he's been really mature. And this echoes the Baker Mayfield sentiment. Loves to play, wants the ball. Allen is an explosive athlete. He didn't shoot it great last year, but he can shoot it. I think he's a functional NBA guard, possibly a starter, but definitely a bench guy. Great athlete. He jumped 41 inches at the combine, which was third best. And he's going to surprise people. I think he's better than people think. And I think because he's a Duke guy, there's a perception that he's soft or he's entitled, but he plays with a chip. And I was talking to one NBA guy, and he said that with Allen, the question's going to be when guys are going to come at him and they want to see, is he that guy? Does he have the stones to take it? And the key for Allen will be to establish early on, go right back at them. And I personally think he will.
Yeah, this I met him, and he was very composed and very humble. Was like listening to the advice that he was getting. Now, obviously, when you're in a game setting, it's completely different, obviously, and he has a temper. But to me, that drive, that motor, that Russell Westbrook rage, you can't teach that. You can't coach that. That's just either in someone or it's not. And I feel like if you can channel that, and not allow it to eat you up. And that's like what you said. Like, that'll be the trick for him. Like, when somebody sticks an elbow in his neck, does he lose his mind or does he give him one back, you know, in a basketball sense, obviously.
Absolutely. And motor is a skill now because a lot of guys just don't play hard. Like, there are so many guys around the league that just are cash and paychecks, Joy. They're just – they like basketball or it's easy and they're good at it. But, like, Grayson Allen's a hooper.
Right.
And so is – I would love to talk about my guy – Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah, so Dante, he's not good at the Twitter now. He's not good at the Twitter.
Yeah, he's off Twitter now.
Yeah, good choice. So tell us about DiVincenzo and why, and more importantly, why should the culture be back in on him after his Twitter faux pas?
Yeah, that was bad. But here's the deal with Dante. He's a legit NBA combo guard. He's 6'5". He, speaking of vertical, jumped 42 inches, which was best at the combine, tied for the best vertical. Can get to the can really get to the 10, can finish, athletic, can create. Not a great passer, but like he can score, get downhill, great rebounder. And this is my favorite part. I talked to a coach who said, Dante DiVincenzo, and I call him the Big Ragu, that's his nickname, or the Michael Jordan Delaware, which I love as well. He said he is the best. He's going to shock the draft. He was the best player at the pre-draft combine in Chicago. And that's my favorite part. He said he's got NBA cojones. He's got NBA balls. What he meant by that was that this guy is going to keep coming at you. He just wants to hoop. And that, to me, is huge when you're talking about a guy maybe late lottery, mid-teens.
So is that why the concept of just always coming back at you, is that why you say that he is most likely to be the next Donovan Mitchell? Because that's somebody I loved watching all year long.
So I wrote a piece today on five guys, and to me, DiVincenzo is the number one on that list of potential Donovan Mitchell. You know, Mitchell's a great player, and to put that on a guy coming out is a lot. But, like, that's his ceiling. But I think his floor, like worst case, is a functional NBA starting guard. And I think he's going to be end up being,
like who?
At worst, like a good player. But I think he could be a legit all-star.
Hmm.
Nice.
Well, good thing you got whatever Twitter then. All right. So Luka, we love a good Euro. So what's the deal with Luka?
Well, this is not a big time Euro class either. There's a real dearth of Europeans. Luka, that's the franchise cornerstone in this draft. Like I think Ayton's really good, but I think Doncic is better. Mm. And I think the thing about Doncic, it might take him like 2-3 years. Although he could be pretty good right away, but like he's only 19.
Right.
He is the most accomplished European player, teenager ever. That includes, you know, Dirk, Porzingis, Petrovic. This guy won a EuroLeague MVP and a EuroLeague Final Four MVP at 19. That is a legit, really hard thing to do. This league is head and shoulders above, you know, college basketball, even the upper echelon of college hoops, playing against grown men. And to me, what I love, point forward, 6'8", can shoot, tough, playmaker. And if you go back and watch the Worlds last summer, he went at Kristaps Porzingis, and he, like, wanted that. And that's another, like, that swag, you need that, especially as a high pick.
Kristaps Porzingis. All right, Trae Young, is he a bust?
Not a bust. Another, these are all my favorite players. So talk about players I don't like. I love Trae Young. You know, to say like he's Steph Curry is not fair because that guy's a transcendent, once-in-a-generation player. But Trae Young is the first player ever to lead the country in assists and points. 27 points, 8 assists, almost 9 assists. Mm. Now, his numbers went down second half of the year. I think he got a little tired. But he was being bombarded, Joy, with like traps the second he crossed half court. He can really score. He's got a good floater game. You know, the question is who's he going to guard if he could switch some bigger guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, from an offensive standpoint, he's pretty special.
Shot so quick.
Marvin Bagley.
So Bagley is polarizing in that nobody thinks he's going to suck. Like, nobody thinks he's a bust, at least that I've talked to. But some people think he's like a stat guy. Is he like a Josh Smith guy? Like, kind of empty, you know, empty numbers. I like Bagley a lot because I think he's a legit 2010 guy. He's super. He might be the best athlete in the class. Size, pound for pound, he's freakish. You know, he's not like as long as like Wendell Carter, his teammate, but he's almost 7 feet. Can handle the ball. Great touch around the hoop. You know, his shot's a little bit flat, but like he shot 37% from three, which is a decent number. And you know, again, like these rim running, left hand, like that's special. And the comparison that I've heard is like Chris Bosh. I don't know if that's fair or accurate. But you can see some of that.
We love to call draft prospects Hall of Famers, don't we?
Of course, yes. Now talk to us about.
Oh, yeah. This guy is the next. You know.
Talk to us about DeAndre.
Greg Oden, though. Who's the next?
Oh, Greg Oden.
Yes, let us know who the next Greg Oden is ahead of time, please.
It can't be Deontay Ayton, though, right?
DeAndre.
No, I like DeAndre.
I'm sorry, DeAndre.
Very good player. Yeah.
Okay, so before we let you go, who goes number one overall then?
So Ayton's going to go one.
Okay.
I think Bagley goes two to Sacramento, and he's kind of been the only guy that's, like, been all in on going to Sac. Like, he's always wanted to go one. He's, like, he's been a prodigy his whole life. Now he's going to go two. You know what's interesting for me, though, is Mo Bamba. I feel like him, he, when I report that he has 7'10 wingspan, which is an inch and a half longer than Gobert, it's almost like it's hard to believe. And I spent some time with him this week, and I love what he said. He said, I went up against Ayton four times. I beat him four times. And he thinks he's the best player in the class. He could end up being the best player in this draft. Wow. And he could go as low as like 5 to Dallas. So, you know, watch out for him. Porter is the best offensive player in this class. Context there is, I grew up playing AAU with Brandon Roy. Roy was his high school coach. Mm. I think he's more offensively gifted than Roy. It's a matter of medical toughness, but that's what I mean with this class having a lot of top heavy talent.
Well, with the number one pick signing with Puma for a shoe deal, I have to ask, in the future of the NBA in 5 years, more BBB, more Big Baller Brand shoes on the court, more Anta shoes on the court, or more Puma shoes on the court?
I would say I'd say Puma, because having that Jay-Z backing, and now that they're going to invest, you know, relatively cheap in young guys, maybe they get Trae Young, but having Bagley and Ayton, I think it's a great move. And Puma, to me, has been a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
Because they have such a great appeal in Europe. If they can start to get European players, I think they could – I really think they're onto something here. And I know it's not cool for, like, basketball players to wear Puma, but start having guys like Ayton and Bagley kill it and then wear Puma, and all of a sudden kids are into it.
No.
It didn't used to be cool to wear Nikes either.
Yeah.
All right, real quick before I let you go, LiAngelo Ball, where's he go? LiAngelo Ball to the Lakers?
No, he's not going to get drafted.
He's not going to get drafted, Joy. That's his response.
The middle ball is – Listen, I.
That's Brandon's favorite ball.
That's my
mother.
Favorite ball. Just getting baskets. 72 points.
You know what's a shame? Like, he's a good player, and he would have been a fine college player. But because of, you know, him not playing college, and, you know, he's not ready for this moment. Like, he should have been a 4-year college guy. Mm. So I don't think he gets drafted. I think he'll get in a summer league camp. You know, it's not that he's a bad player. This is a really deep draft. And you could get real value into the 40s in this draft, maybe 50s.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much for all of your insight and your sneaker knowledge. And, you know, I don't agree with you about the balls. Balls don't lose.
Brandon, if LaMelo Ball was in this class, if he was in this class at 16, would he be drafted?
Oh, at 16? LaMelo?
Yeah, no, LaMelo's going to end up being like 6'10".
No.
I think Melo is really – I think he's a really good – I think he's going to be a really good player.
He's going to be the best out of all the Ball brothers.
Do you think that? I know their dad thinks that. Do you think that?
Do I think it?
Yeah, LaMelo's the best Ball.
I think LaMelo's going to be a pretty good pro. But, yeah, if you had to say it, like, to project, I think given his size
– Wow.
And he's, like, dunking on people now. I think he could be really special. But Lonzo – I mean, Lonzo's – He actually, advanced metrics-wise, when he was on the court, which wasn't a ton, he was really good last year. So, you know, who knows?
We're big Lonzo, and we're big Baller Brand fans around here.
I got my JBA socks on,
yes,
right now.
JBA. JBA starts this week. thanks so much, Jordan. We appreciate it. We got to have you on again sometime.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye,
Thank
Jordan.
You. All right. Thanks to Jordan Schultz. He was great.
Hey, great.
Kind of got me actually encouraged about the draft now.
Yes, and discouraged about the Ball brothers.
No, I still have faith. Never doubt LeVar.
Yeah, or LiAngelo.
Or God.
Yes.
I'm like one in three.
Yes.
You know, the Holy Trinity.
I can't.
Anyway, you can check out Jordan's podcast, Pull Up, the Pull Up podcast with CJ McCollum. It's on iTunes and everywhere else you get podcasts. Hear ye, hear ye. San Francisco is petty, but I like it. Actually, it's a San Fran brewery. They made an IPA. I can drink one beer.
One beer?
I can drink a few Coronas if I've already had some liquor. But I can't just do beer all day. I'm a cider person.
Okay.
I get full.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Have you tried the Angry Orchard Rosé?
Ooh, I have not. Mm. I don't know if I would like it. It sounds like a lot.
Oh, yeah, and you don't like the sweet stuff, too.
Generally, no.
Yeah.
I go for the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, they made a beer called LeBron Tears, which is funny.
Yes.
It's 6.5% alcohol. I don't know what that means because I don't look at the alcohol content of anything.
What?
Is that a lot for beer?
I mean, sounds hoppy.
I don't know, Heller. You drink beers.
Sounds IP hoppy. Oh,
I only drink them in flights, but I'll jump in here. 6.5 is a little high, like a Budweiser's like 5. And then like a
I only drink beer flights. And they go on beer tours.
What's the average, Ari?
4.5. Okay, so that's heavy.
Yes.
So that's a goat petty level amount of alcohol.
Yes.
And the real reason why I wanted to bring this up was not because San Francisco is being petty, because that's funny. It's always fun to go down memory lane and remind everyone what fake fans Cleveland Cavalier fans are. I love doing this. Remember when LeBron left Cleveland in 2010 and Cavs fans burned his jerseys? Which, by the way, whoever burned Kawhi Leonard's jersey, I mean, ugh, get a life. He's still on your team. I mean, what?
What'd you say, Ashley? What was that?
What did you mumble about? Something about what?
It was the F word. Was...
Not to look at me.
What?
Because he insinuated that I burned the jersey, which I would never do.
No, he still plays for your team. It's insanity. Right. Yes. Anyway, they took down LeBron's banner. The Associated Press wrote that the decision joined the move, the drive, the shot, and the fumble in the Cleveland Sports Hall of Shame. Obviously, there was the Dan Gilbert letter, which was clearly ridiculous. He's the owner of Fathead.com, mm-hmm. and he took down the price of LeBron Fatheads from $99, well, basically $100, to $17.41, which happens to be the same year of the Revolutionary War traitor Benedict Arnold was born, because we don't get deep in the petty. They put LeBron bobbleheads and urinals so fans could literally pee on LeBron James. Well, not literally. Obviously, it was metaphorical. Anyway, and then a Cleveland brewery released the Quitness beer. And then, of course, there were LeBron James shirts saying we are all Quitness. It's always nice to reminisce on how quickly Cleveland turned around.
Yes.
Voila. We love you. Come on back.
They're going to do something.
That's what sports fans do, yeah. though.
The Prince of Privilege, John Heller, called the brewery asking to purchase LeBron tears, as white people do. They call companies with notes.
Right.
And after they told him that they do not bottle it and they are not selling it.
Growlers only, no marking.
He just told him, like, you guys should really consider bottling it up and selling it.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that's your territory, right?
Yeah, that's what you guys do, right? Tell people how to run their businesses. That's your part of the
world. For sure. I mean, yeah, give notes where they weren't asked for. Absolutely. Well, that's what I do on this podcast also.
You have time.
Yeah, you have time.
You're not worried about, like, you know, anything. So
right.
That's why you have time.
I actually am somewhat worried about time, but consequences, less so.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the Good Prince of Privilege. That's
you're making
point.
Your people proud.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right. It's time for the lit list.
Is it?
All right, so it's World Cup.
Yes, very
Nigeria.
Excited. Yeah, I mean,
didn't go so well first game.
That was so embarrassing to watch. It was hard to watch.
You know what? What bothers me is when the intensity is turned up in like the last 5 minutes of the match. Why don't we just play like that the whole game? It's
a
World Cup.
It's a long match, Joy.
Uh huh. It is a long match. You have lots of days off in between though for rest and
it's
such.
Fair. Yes.
Anyway, Mexico upset Germany, which is the biggest story of the World Cup so far. Of course, you can watch the World Cup on Fox and FS1. Mm-hmm. And they triggered a small earthquake in Mexico City, which is so badass. The thing about the World Cup, which people don't understand, for people who don't watch soccer, which just be clear, I don't watch soccer unless it's the World Cup. I'm gonna be very clear about that, so that I don't sound
like a
moron.
Right.
Watching the World Cup at a sports bar is just the best experience you're gonna have watching anything at a sports bar.
True
because we don't get it here in the States because we don't care about soccer that much. No matter what kind of like pitch people make on it, like you care about soccer, you don't. Pitch, no pun intended.
There you go.
The point is, it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. And I wish that we all cared about soccer more because it's so, so fun.
Yeah.
They created an earthquake. That's how much they cared. It's so awesome.
How they won is very, very funny, just because Mexico had a party with some prostitutes when they were leaving for the World Cup, while Germany's coach, the guy who scratches and sniffs himself every now and then, he told the Germany players to give up, I believe, sex, drugs, and social media to prepare for the World Cup. And the guys that got some before they got there was upset.
Well, yeah, then that's probably why we'd call it an upset.
Right.
Although those three things, in general, I think are good to give up before, you know.
A competition like the World Cup.
The competition like the World Cup.
Yes.
Yes. Sex, it takes your legs out.
That's what it says.
You use a lot of the
Sugar
legs.
Sugar Ray Robinson says that.
In general, he's not the only one that says
that. Yeah,
I'm not going to get into that. Anyway. also on the lit list, LaMelo is dunking all over everybody. JBA tips off this Thursday, June 21st. And it's a big week. Like, you've got World Cup,
man.
Obviously. JBA starting June 21st. You can watch that on Facebook or go, you know, check the schedule if it's in your city. And Big Three Fridays on FS1. So, you know, there's still a lot of sports going on. Despite the summer. Anyway, LaMelo is out here dunking on everybody. He's the marquee player of the JBA, obviously. We're going to check that out. Mm-hmm. We are big baller fans around here.
Yep.
Also, just want to say, just passing note, I get to say if LeVar is a misogynist. No, I don't think he is. Just going to say that. Anyway, J.R. Smith. Saw that floating around on the internet. That's how I feel about it. Yeah. I'm right. So, J.R. Smith's jersey is being auctioned off. The current bid is $9,020. Someone's going to buy that, and that is going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing piece to hang up in your man cave.
Who's going to get it, though?
I mean, obviously a Golden State fan is going to buy it, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that's low, $9,000?
Should we buy it?
I mean, I'm not balling like that. I'm keeping it real Fox for is. A J.R. Smith jersey.
When it was at three, I was about to ask you if it was cool.
I mean, if I was to drop... You know, 90 grand on something. The point is, I do think it's going to end up selling for a lot more than that. And that's a worthwhile investment. That's really low.
I hope for a
mental lapse that is going to change the course of NBA history.
Yes,
the jersey worn on that person. Mm-hmm. That's a good investment.
I want Dan Gilbert to purchase it and burn it.
No,
why not? That'd be fun.
Boo.
That's some content.
Boo.
That's some content.
That's super whack. Don't let that happen.
You don't want him on the Petty Report for that reason.
What?
You don't want to put him on the Petty Report for that reason, Dan Gilbert?
No, destroy that. That's history.
Okay.
Loser power rankings.
Loser power rankings. He's on the loser of the week.
All right. Ooh, Enes Kanter.
Enes.
All right. Let me be very clear. I like Enes Kanter.
What?
I know people don't like Enes Kanter. But Enes Kanter is with the s***.
Just because he talks a lot?
No. He ain't afraid of LeBron James.
Now he's... I'm not going...
Well, okay, listen. It doesn't make any sense. Yes. Okay, but Enes Kanter is not afraid of LeBron James. And yes. I don't like punks, all right? Don't you ever come in my house and punk me.
He does every time.
Who?
LeBron punks Enes...
No, he does not.
He's the king of New York, is he not?
No, he's not.
Okay, yeah.
Go to New York and say that.
Okay. No, I would never.
But you won't.
Of course
but
not.
But you won't.
No.
But
you Enes won't. Isn't the king of New York either.
No, he's not. But he's closer to the king of New York than LeBron because he don't play for the Knicks. And Michael Jordan does them more winning. Anyway, the point is Enes Kanter says they have a chance to land LeBron. They don't. You don't have a chance to land LeBron.
Why is he? What?
I don't know. I mean, everyone's just saying things about LeBron now at this point. But there's you know, I'm going to share it in it. There's a 0% chance that LeBron goes to New York. Because here's why. It's not about Enes Kanter either. It has nothing to do with him. It has 100% to do with James Dolan owns the team. And there's just no way that LeBron James is leaving Dan Gilbert to go play for James Dolan.
Yeah. I was at a 1, now I'm at a 0. You're right. Talk me into it.
You were at a 1?
I was at a 1.
That's high.
You know, God exists. I don't know who's praying for the Knicks fans.
God,
you
know LeVar, LiAngelo.
I can't believe I just said God Lakers. Exists. That's a hot take to a lot of people listening.
Lakers, I'm joking. Get all sacrilegious on you. All right, this is a hot take alert.
Yes.
Came up with this all on my own.
Yes, let's hear
I feel
it.
Strong about it. So, for some reason, we're still getting news about Andrew Luck. I didn't know Andrew Luck still played in the NFL.
Why?
Got to be honest with you. I had no idea. And the reason is because he doesn't play football. Okay. There are
doesn't throw football.
There are a lot of similarities that okay, so that's what happened. Like there was this big revolutionary news that Andrew Luck is now throwing mini footballs.
Woo!
Which I don't know. Who does that help?
How many?
Smaller than a regulation football.
You know what I mean?
I don't know why that helps anyone. And then they were like, they're gonna like slowly integrate him back in. And then it just came to me. Andrew Luck is the Derrick Rose of the NFL.
Bam. That's it.
Stop telling me when Andrew Luck has done something. You know, my car, I was in a car accident, and I'm getting these alerts like, we're going to tell you when you have an update on your car. Just tell me when the car's fixed. Why am I getting this text message? You know, I get this text message like, oh, Bay text me. No, I have an update about nothing. Oh, thank you. You have my number. That's what you let me
we're
know.
Putting it
stop
on the list
telling
now.
Me when Andrew Luck has done something, and let me know when Andrew Luck plays football again.
I mean, no, not even then. Not even there.
We're gonna change the app from the Derrick Rose app. All right, it's gonna be the Stop Telling Me app, and I should get one alert. That's the whole point of the app. I should get one alert, so I can be very excited when I get an alert from this app. Tell me when Andrew Luck is healthy enough to play in the NFL football, not throw a mini football, not touch the field with his cleats, okay, not move his shoulder all the way around. Stop telling me when Derrick Rose's knee bends 100%. Just tell me when they're healthy. I don't need an update every 15 days about something. Andrew Luck blew his nose. Okay?
Andrew Luck's never going to be healthy.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
That's why the app hasn't been created.
Oh, it's so frustrating. I'm so done with Andrew Luck Watch. Someone else who got injured and their career changed dramatically. RG3 is taking your boy Lamar under his wing.
This is embarrassing. It really is.
I'm trying to help nurture him as much as I possibly can so that when he flies away, he is ready to fly away. Because when you watch it fly away, at that point, it's up to that bird.
It's a chicken soup from the Teenage Soul entry. Like, what does that even mean? What are you saying?
Ooh, that was a good book, though.
All of them were.
I don't know what RG3 is talking about. I saved a bird. Not really. He died. But the other day, there was a bird in the middle of the street when we were coming home. And Earl was like, that bird just got hit. And there was his little wingy.
It was flapping?
He was like.
What kind of bird was it?
It's the wild one. It was like a little bird. And before I could get to him, he got ran over again.
You were walking up to the bird and ran over?
I was in the car. Well, I was deciding if I was going to save it or not. I got ran over again. So I was like, nah, I got to save it. So, but you can't touch birds because if you get the human germs on them, then the other birds kill them.
Oh.
I think. Anyway, that could be completely fake news, but.
Yeah, I mean, we're just repeating what was told to us growing up.
Exactly. You can't touch birds. Maybe maybe that's why.
That's what it was. Don't touch that bird.
The other birds will kill it.
Don't touch that bird. You're going to kill everybody in the house. Oh.
There's no way that's accurate. You're totally right about that. Anyway, so I went and got a washcloth, which is now no longer a member of our towel family. And I went and picked up the bird and took it out of the middle of the street and put him in the shade so he could die in peace. I wasn't gonna let him get run over again. Sure. I thought maybe he could rehabilitate himself.
You went and wasted a washcloth to move a dead bird to the shade to die.
To die in peace. I feel like I got good animal karma off of that.
You know, what are you going to do with the animal karma?
I don't know. Maybe a stray dog will decide not to bite my ass next time. But I took the bird out of the middle of the street. I've never been caught by a stray dog. Never been caught. I've been chased. I meant like the next time I'm around a stray
dog. I love that this quote from RG3 is so nonsensical that we've gotten to this
There's
point.
There's nothing to break down there. What could you possibly be teaching him? Nothing.
Just a loser, RG.
No, RG3's not a loser.
He's not. Okay, thank you.
All right, time for the culture report. This is a very serious, very intense culture report.
It is.
Let's do it.
First off, we have to say happy Father's Day to Drake. Right?
Yeah, you're just going to steal an internet joke and pretend like you made that up.
No, I'm saying it's worth saying happy Father's Day to Drake in the culture report. Where else am I going to talk about it? He drops a new album on Friday.
Keep it real. You saw that on a meme.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I didn't see it on a meme. Mm-hmm. I thought about him on Father's Day.
Before you move on, since you said that really quickly.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm not going to throw my friend on the bus, but I kind of am going to throw him under the bus.
Yes.
I'll tell him this in here later. I really was not offended, but just as a note, okay?
Yes.
You can't ask everybody about Father's Day.
Can't do
it's
it.
Just not one of those holidays.
You just
like Mother's Day is an international day of love, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's moms.
Yeah.
Fathers, it can go either way. It's just, you know, sometimes you have good dads.
You should treat it like Easter.
You know, actually, if you have a good dad, it's like, oh, good for you.
Yes.
Oh, your dad was, that's great.
Yeah.
You stayed the whole time? Cool. You know, so like that's just, you know, you just have to like be careful how you ask people about Father's Day.
Papa's Rolling Stone.
Sometimes they are.
Sometimes
you just never really even like, sometimes Rolling Stone's like stop for a second. Right. Let's keep going.
And
anyway,
sometimes
the point is, I was asked if I spoke to my father on Father's Day. The answer is no, obviously. And it was just a funny interaction. So just as a note for next Father's Day, you can't ask everybody about Father's Day.
Be wary of it. I learned about the sensitivities of Father's Day when I was looking at cards. I was like, oh, that one doesn't really fit.
Right, like it's too serious. Do I love him that much?
Yeah. Where's the mahogany ones? The our voice?
I need more vague. You know, like whereas Mother's Day, I'm like, this doesn't really say it intensely enough. I'm going to have to add more at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, Mom, I really, really love you.
I love the moms. Shouts out to the moms.
Shout out, moms. Oh. Love you, moms. And shout, you know what? And shout out to the good dads. There's a lot of good dads in my life, just not the actual dad. Yeah. So I love the good dads in my life. Mm-hmm. In Heller's words, that's a very high risk, low reward question. And it's the truth.
Gotta be wearing high risk, low reward questions.
All right, moving on. Cultural.
Just Drake drops the album this Friday. It's gonna be a big moment for the King of the North. Because June of 2018 has gone down as ARP Hip Hop Takeover Month.
Yes.
For the geriatric OGs. And the month that I had to download Tidal again. Jay-Z and Nas become two of the newest 40-plus-year-old rappers to release a project in June. I wanted to give Nas the credit he deserves and want to give his album some time, but Jay-Z and Beyonce derailed that. Joy, what did you think of Everything Is Love by the Beyonce Carter and Jay-Z Sean Carter, whatever his name is?
Okay, first of all, it's Beyonce Knowles still. Okay.
Wow.
All right. Wow. I know she wants it. I know it's the Carters, okay, but I recognize Beyonce Knowles. First
really?
Of all. Yes, I do. First of all, Beyonce is what, 32 years old? Approximately 32 years old.
Yes.
Okay. She is not in her 40s at all. Let's start with this. She's 36. Yeah. Impossible.
Beyonce's 36.
36?
You could be 36. What's wrong with being 36?
Nothing's wrong with being 36. I'm going to be 36 soon. Before I know it, I'll be 36. There's nothing wrong with being 36. I just thought she was 32.
Why are you coming at Beyonce for being
36? Because this might have messed up my entire take. I thought she was 32. I was operating under that bad information.
Let's act like she looks like a 33.
Beyonce looks like an angel. Okay, right, she has no age, first of all. But it does kind of mess up my take. First of all, I will not be downloading Tidal again. You will not get me with that. All right? It's an inferior app to begin with. It rarely works with cars. And I already have Spotify, so I'll just wait. And I'll listen online. All right, or I'll listen on someone else that has Tidal because I'm not doing it. I've done that.
It was only on Tidal for like 2 days, but it was long enough for me to. They got my $13.
No, you're not gonna get another dollar out of me. They got me for like 6 months because I forgot that I subscribed to it. Anyway, that's one. As far as the ARP tour goes, very accurate. We haven't even mentioned Black Thought.
Black Thought
has decided to drop an album on us as well. So we discussed Pusha T at length. So it's Pusha T, it's Black Thought, it's Jay-Z, it's Nas, all of whom I appreciate. But what is this like short album thing? Is there a reason for that?
They've been too long. Kanye West said they've been too long. I want a short album, so he's making a bunch of 20-minute albums. Jay-Z and Beyonce, low key.
We didn't even mention Kanye in that list of old rappers.
Here's
the thing with Jay-Z and Beyonce. All right, and as far as like them taking away Nas's spotlight, that's Nas's fault. He had time to not put it out on. The same time as Jay-Z and Beyonce. Okay.
It was a surprise album.
Okay.
No one knew this was coming.
Do some research. I feel like you know some people. Okay?
Yeah, some industry people should know.
You probably know who. Somebody knows something. Yeah, ask her. All right,
it was a surprise album.
Though. Hey, Jay. You know, help me out. So there's that. Second, while the video is one of the greatest artistic masterpieces ever put together, and actually I don't even know how it even happened.
Yes.
Because I was like, whoa, that's the Louvre. If you don't know what the Louvre is, it's an incredible museum in Paris, and it's where the Mona Lisa is, which you may have learned by watching that video, which is fine. I don't care how people get educated. The point is that album, it did not move me for multiple reasons. And this is not Beyonce slander. This is actually Beyonce praise. Jay-Z, I'm sorry, you had your time, okay? And we love you, Jay-Z. We get it. But... There's so many levels to this. We get a Beyonce naked picture, and I got to see naked Jay-Z in the picture. I didn't ask for that. I'm like, whoa, Beyonce's butt. Why is Jay-Z naked in the picture? I don't want to see Jay-Z naked. I want to see Beyonce naked.
You don't like them doing things as a group?
Listen, as a core? Listen, I'm all for beautiful black love. Okay? Yes. I'm all for it.
Yes.
All right?
We're here to champion it.
Great.
Yes.
Right. But enough, all right? Let Beyonce shine, all right? Please. I don't want to
hear... She has shined all the shine.
Okay,
she's Beyonce.
Let her shine some more. I don't need to hear Beyonce rapping.
It's beautiful. She's so good. She's really, really good.
Is she, though?
She's
pretty
good.
There's no hooks in that entire album. I can't get jiggy to this shit. Where's the bangers?
I mean, I'm trying to get jiggy.
I am trying to get jiggy. That's what I listen to music for.
Sure, all these old people were albums. I'm gonna blanket the term. I didn't want to do this. I'm gonna blanket it. They have all been TED Talks to really trap beats.
Okay, listen.
And
I
some
know,
to Kanye beats.
I know everyone's woke now, but yes. Every once in a while, I just need to turn it off. And honestly, like for people who don't like the Migos, this is why they're winning.
But Quavo's because, on Ape Shit, though.
Okay, fine.
Skirt, skirt, skirt.
Fine. That's the one song. And guess what it's called?
What?
Ape Shit. Sorry. I'm keeping it real. I just want I want Beyonce to make the songs that make me move because that's what Beyonce is. She's amazing. She's the greatest.
Was Lemonade such a booty shaker?
Yes.
Okay. The whole thing?
The entire thing.
Okay.
You can get down to every song in Lemonade.
Okay. Pharrell's on producing on this thing.
Keep it real.
It's a great
album.
Keep it
real. You did more than nod your head to that entire album.
To which one?
Everything is Love.
I brush my teeth vigorously to Ape
Oh. To another song? To another song?
That's the song. And then, you know, the first song's, you know, it's a prelude.
There's Ape Shit, and then there's like 45 minutes of the rest of the album that sounds exactly the same.
It's only 38 minutes long.
We listened to the entire album, and I was like, wait, is this a song on repeat? I literally could not tell the difference. Like, it all sounds the same.
I got other stuff to go through. You can't just be slandering Jay-Z and Beyonce throwing a project out there. That's good. Some of the best work that they've done. Jay-Z is showing everyone in a time where people are questioning who's writing what, that he still is one of the best writers of rap out.
Jay-Z is on the Mount Rushmore of rappers, okay?
Now,
I love Jay-Z, okay? Yes. But it's time for him to produce and write. And just let Beyonce, we know you guys are together, okay?
Why can't Beyonce just stop?
We get it.
Why can't Beyonce just
stop? We get it. You guys are married.
I said the same thing when Crazy in Love came out. I was like, I get it. Y'all like each other.
Okay, wait. You were saying it's like Crazy in Love,
yes,
and you're not nauseated with it at this point?
I mean, it's been nauseating up until this point.
No, absolutely not. No, I need my Beyonce, and I need her. Okay. I love Jay-Z. But I need my Beyonce.
Y'all don't want these people to be happy. Y'all don't want these people to be happy.
I want happiness.
You don't want
for
it.
Everyone.
You
but
don't want
I
it.
This is what I need. I'm asking for what I need.
Quick follow up. Tiffany Haddish hosted the MTV Movie Award, TV Awards, first black woman to host the award show. Black Panther won all the awards that matter, if any of them actually matter. Kim K was rocking box braids, like doing a Bo-Derek twist thing. What do you think about this whole MTV Movie Awards thing, period?
I like the MTV Movie Awards. They're fun.
Yeah.
It's like
they added TV this year.
It's and TV?
Movie and TV Awards.
I love Tiffany.
Yes.
She's welcome on the podcast anytime.
Yes, please.
She's one of my favorites.
Yes.
I like the MTV Awards because it's like light,
mm-hmm,
and no one really takes it that serious, but
right,
it's fun.
Yeah.
And I loved that Chadwick Boseman gave the award to
that
Shaw,
was
Mr.
beautiful.
Shaw.
Beautiful. That was amazing.
I can't
moment.
Remember his first name right now.
Is it Eric?
Yeah.
He's a hero. I call him Hero.
Yes. So I like that he gave that award away.
Yes.
But yeah, I like the MTV.
Yeah, the one moment that was weird for me, Michael B. Jordan won Best Villain and then told the audience, hey guys, could you please stop? Chadwick Boseman wanted me to ask you guys if you please stop asking him to say Wakanda Forever
Never.
In public.
Sorry, Chadwick. You don't get that. We can't submit to that.
Yeah, are you gonna do a Black Panther 2? Okay then. Yes, yes. We will say it for all
time. There's
literally
never going to be a point in your life where people don't say Wakanda Forever to you.
No, I want Chadwick Boseman to play me in my biopic, and I want him to start it with saying
Wakanda
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
James Shaw Jr.
James
Shaw, the Waffle House hero.
Yes.
James and Eric's
yes.
close.
Yes.
As far as names go.
Sorry, Chadwick. That's never happening.
Yes.
It's a nice request, though. Mm-hmm. But that does make that meme look even more realistic now.
Oh yes,
where he's just like,
just soul's dead.
He's got the limp. His wrists are limp.
Wakanda still.
Yeah. All right, that was quite the podcast. Got a lot going on in there.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure that you subscribe and share with your friends.
Yes.
Follow us on social media at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod.
Mm-hmm.
Leave all your comments because Brandon reads all of them because he's sick. I've tried talking about this. He will not listen.
Maybe I'm a food abuser.
Yeah, it's affecting your psyche. It's the best advice Skip Bayless ever gave me. to stop listening to what people say on social media, and it's true. I still look at the social media, but it can't affect you.
Okay. I know. I'm fine.
Like, it just cannot.
I went to Roscoe's after reading the comment, though, and got a shirt, so that's why I'm wearing this.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a good shirt. Yeah, there's a good shirt. Thank you so much. Thank you. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you next week. We have an exciting podcast next week. We're going to do an NBA award show, similar to our Valentine's Day show, similar to our New Year's Day show. So we hope you enjoy that. Make sure you subscribe so you get that. Love you.
Bye. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not. Ooh.